Flag Day being very much on the radar, and consequently, you know, anything like Pride, Halloween, Winter Walk, etc. We also know that we have a bunch of other events pending that we've been approached about, such as, you know, the Second Saturdays, the Gallery Crawl, Park Theater. We've been talking about pocket parks. We're talking about merchandise. And we know, after my last report, that we've got about $50,000 after we know what we've already set aside for any allocations for, you know, already existing events and projects in the queue. So what we were thinking was, you know, knowing that we have a limited resource, it might be wise to try to put some of our, you know, our remaining budget in some sort of reserve for the future. You know, one idea we were tossing around was maybe we take half of it, put that aside for anything that might come up in 2022. That would leave us, you know, with approximately $20,000+ that we could then, you know, figure out how we would divide and allocate for any of the things that are on deck at this point. We're a little uncertain exactly how we would want to divide it up just yet. One thing that we were thinking about moving forward for the next year would be, you know, for the very Hudson-centric seasonal events such as Flag Day, Halloween Parade, etc., you know, perhaps we could, you know, do the application process. We could do it biannually, by season. Applications would have to be in by a certain time, and then we could fairly distribute the funds for each of those events accordingly. Another thing that we explored was possibly, you know, allocating a percentage of our budget for each of those events, possibly based on whatever their, you know, net that they're asking for, or, you know, something like that. As far as the immediate events, though, you know, one thing we were thinking about as well, if this is a possibility, is Flag Day, for instance, being that it's the first event to come up in a couple of weeks, perhaps that could be something that, you know, they are requesting some funds. I don't think we've confirmed exactly what they're looking for yet, but perhaps that could be something that, you know, we could retroactively pay out since we're still kind of in the process of devising our plan. But, you know, we're looking at the big picture, trying to figure out, you know, what makes sense based on the limited funds that we still have. I think that's it. Did I miss anything, Chris or Calvin?
Yeah, I think that covered the basis of what we discussed. Chris, did you want to add anything to Ivy's comments?
No, I think Ivy covered it well. I mean, it's the pivot that we're taking from a board that has been focused on relief towards a board that is able to now start to take a look at longer term funding. And I do think that at some point we have to have a discussion on budget. Do we go to the Common Council and ask for a certain amount of funds to support events such as Flag Day and what Flag Day, Sankofa, Halloween, and some of the other events that Ivy mentioned. So that's just something I think we should have on our radar. I don't think we have to have a discussion on that right now.
Yeah, agreed. And I did invite Christine Grossman to the meeting. I'm not sure if she's with us currently, but in reaching out to her, she understands that a lot of organizations are in need. And so she was, she didn't provide an exact figure, but she would be thankful for any funding that could be made available, provided, you know, the pandemic set back a lot of their fundraising efforts. And so ultimately, any funding that could be made available, they'd be grateful for. Yes, Tom.
Just to let everyone know, in the past, before there was a tourism board, there was roughly $20,000 allocated to those kind of events every year. So if you're thinking of, you know, limits of what you can divvy up for those sort of events, that's roughly the amount you should be thinking of overall.
Yeah,
Good to know.
And in fact, and Chris, to your comment, Chris, when it comes budget time, you know, that could be your starting number.
Yeah, understood. Yeah. No, we understand that, you know, we've allocated funds throughout the pandemic. And now we're just trying to set things up for coming out of the pandemic. So that, right. That makes full sense.
All right.
Just one last thought, Calvin. I'm sorry. So I guess, you know, our goal at this point is for us to determine, you know, what we think, if we agree with, you know, setting some money aside, and what that amount would be.
Yeah. So that said, I would love to hear comments from board members about that proposal of setting aside funding for the specific purpose of addressing some of the events that are prominent to Hudson culture here.
I have a question. Yes. On Fourth and Board One, we've set aside 15K, right? Was it 15 or 20? Which I think, you know, is something that we could also go off of a little bit. I mean, there is some history there too with tourism setting those events.
That was to Tom, Kristen. Were you talking to Tom?
What was the question? 15,000 for what?
In the first round or the first tourism board, there was it was either 15 or IB.
No, this it was 20. Come out. It was 20.
It was 20. Okay, good. So, yeah.
Okay. So, as a board, are we ready to take a vote on setting aside $20,000 of the remaining 50 for future programming in regards to events such as Flag Day, the Halloween Parade, Pride Parade, etc.
I have a question regarding those funding. So that's been a typical amount we've given in prior years. We know that inflation has gone up exponentially, and I just wanted to consider that even though we do have a small amount to offer, that we consider inflation in that give, because, you know, they have so much to do, all of these programs, and they do bring people year round to the city of Hudson. So I just want to know if inflation is a part of that that number.
Do you know, Cece, do you know your tax whiz, do you know what inflation has been? So it was 2018, it was, or 2019, it was 20,000. 2019, it was 20,000. Do we know what inflation was? I just don't know.
I guess this is a part of the research that has to happen before we actually throw out a number, because mm-hmm. if you look at wood prices and gas prices from 2018 and 19 to now, you see that there has been some inflation. I'm not sure if those things go into it, but I'm sure they do. If you're thinking about, you know, vehicles and things like that that have to come through and do things for these events.
Hey, Dot.
My question is, we talking about, what sort of time frame are we talking about? Are we talking about dedicating $20,000 for the rest of this year? You know, are we talking about, you know, and I think there needs to be further discussion about how we break that down and how we allocate to each event.
It might be premature for us to vote. I mean, it's good to have the
conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I think that I think we have to. The idea tonight was to float by the board the idea that we are starting to think more forward looking. We are thinking about how to support local events, and so I think if we establish that we want to set ourselves up for next year as well as this year, maybe next meeting we come back with a number that factors in inflation, and the fact that there are more activities, there are more people living in Hudson. We've become a more active city.
Right, but there's also the fact that we only have a limited amount of funds, and we also have other events that have been presented that I think need to be treated equally as fair.
Correct. I think we have to look at everything and factor in what we reasonably can do, what we reasonably can fund, and what's fair. That's right.
Christine? Yeah, and we keep saying these events and trying to kind of clarify what events would qualify and how we would, like Ivy was saying, how we would make those decisions.
Well, yeah, and
so people know that.
Sorry, Kristen, I stepped on you. You're breaking up.
Yeah, I'm sorry. As you guys can tell, I'm kind of in transit. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we were suggesting, at least moving forward into the next year, you know, perhaps there would be an application process like we've had for other, you know, projects, you know, where, you know, you have to submit an application if you're looking for funding for Flag Day, Pride Parade, you know, the Bangladeshi Festival, any of those things.
Okay, so are we going to hold off for the vote until next meeting? And in between then, is there a need to perhaps coordinate another meeting amongst the subcommittee? Or
I think we should, yeah.
Okay, all right.
One thought that I have is that if we are going to have this RFP for upcoming projects next year, is maybe also setting a deadline so that we can kind of all review them at the same time.
Yeah, yes. I believe that came out of the discussion yesterday as well.
That's what we talked about. We talked about doing it biannually. So, you know, people that would have events like the second half of the year wouldn't have to submit upfront, but we would, you know, designate a certain amount of money for each 6-month period. And, you know, so, you know, we'd have spring, summer, winter, fall, whatever, just for example, you know. And obviously, yes, absolutely, there would have to be a deadline because we'd have to review them all at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
Great. So we'll come up with recommendations on numbers for the next meeting.
Sounds good. Okay. So moving on to our next item of business. It is the Warren Street seasonal usage update, and for that, I believe we still have Gary Pernhagen with us. Are you still there, Gary?
Yes. Hi. Hello, everyone. Gary Pernhagen here. Today is May 24th, and we are officially starting the Warren Street seasonal usage program, and I have a bunch of permit applications that are ready to be signed. Unfortunately, Chief Moore is getting some stitches in the hospital, but there's plenty of restaurants that are eager to get started. That's the good news. All of the concrete barriers that we have are on Warren Street, and in one case, 4th Street, off Warren. The good news is 20 to 23 barriers are going to be released from their present positions. There's a bunch of businesses, I think all retail, that just feel like, you know, the restaurants could use it better than they could. They want to consider parking spots for their neighbors, just, you know, the best of Hudson. So it's still a little fluid. We may end up with a little more, a little less, I'm not sure. But I'm speaking with each one and we're working through it. So that's the good news, I think. These extra barriers will give us the opportunity to set up in spaces where businesses have requested to participate. So we'll satisfy everybody on the list that had signed up originally back in April, and we'll be able to get to a number of businesses that are on the waiting list. Again, I'm still sorting that out, very fluid situation. I think we're going to have enough planters to satisfy the original design. And Michael Conti will be back at work on Thursday and Friday of this week, finishing up what he still has to do. DPW will not be able to do anything for us in terms of moving barriers or planters this week with Memorial Day coming up. And certainly Rob is backed up. So I'm not sure when we'll have DPW ready to begin moving the barriers and setting up the new participants. But obviously I'll be working with him and keeping you posted. The big issue around the barriers has been our concern about safety. I believe, and a number of businesses believe as well, that if we use reflective cones on the corner of the barrier where there is oncoming traffic and a cone where a car parked could back up into it, we're in pretty good shape. As one business owner said to me, if someone hits this with what the back with the reflective cones on top, they're not paying attention. I'm of the same mind. So we're going to see, you know, how this works out from here. You know, there has been situations where people have banged into it. I do not know of any police reports or accidents being reported. I'm looking into that with the police department. The general criticism of this program is the impact on parking. Parking is a problem in this town, plain and simple, and this certainly exasperates it. We're working on some ideas in terms of, you know, improving situations in that regard. And that's really all I can say about that. So every participant right now has the paperwork required to fill out the permits, the registration agreements, and they recognize their requirements around the certificate of insurance. And as I've mentioned, we're getting many of those in. We're, you know, right now I'm down in the weeds managing each and every one of those documents and making sure that we're completing it so these businesses can get up and running. Obviously, the majority of them are looking to be up and running for this weekend. And many of them are ready to do that. I'm not sure if there was something else I wanted to mention. You know, my concern also was, as the project manager here, the residents. And, you know, at first I thought maybe some way we could, you know, collectively communicate. But I think with the residents, it's coming down to individual issues. And I've spoken to a number of residents, and I'm committed to speaking to every one of them that calls into the city or to me directly, and seeing if I can address that issue or their concerns. And on some, I'm still working on them, I think that's the best way that I can support the residents at this point moving forward. So in general, I think it's going very well. Kate did a terrific job in setting it up. You know, the fact that we're, you know, ready except for technical signatures to hit the ground running, and I think in a safe manner, is a job well done by everyone. Thank you. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to take them.
Thank you for the update, Gary. Board members, do we have any questions for Gary?
I got an email that I forwarded to you, Gary, but it was from Sarah Dibben. I don't know if the Sarah is on here, Sarah Dibben, but I just wanted to, figured this was a good moment to address it because we're in a meeting. It was about sight lines and sight poles. And I wondered if that's something that you can address. I guess that there are some sight poles in some places.
We tried sight poles up at La Perche, and I was in favor of them initially. But if you put a reflective cone on top of that barrier, you can't miss it. I think that, and I wasn't, to be honest, you know, the cones weren't my first favorite idea. But you know, looking at what folks have done on their own, and how effective they are, I believe the cones are the way to go. And we will be providing those reflective cones to all of the businesses. No one has refused my urging there to put those up. And so I think that's the way to go. And I think that certainly eliminates the problem of the cycle.
Are we talking about like orange traffic cones?
That is correct.
Right. Any other questions?
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you, Ivy, did you say orange traffic cones?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. No, they are blue and white. They look a lot better than the orange, but they are traffic cones.
Yeah, I'm just asking because I know there's, you know, a lot of chat just about the people not really favoring the concrete, and there was an early discussion about painting the things and just, you know, trying to keep it, you know, as simple and not, you know, nice. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I agree. I'll tell you that the vast majority of the business, you know, I did not hear a complaint about the concrete. And I get that, you know, this is benefiting them. So, yeah. And even the cones. So I think everyone's feeling that they're in it together.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you again, Gary, for the update.
Thank you. I'm going
to have to run. Plenty to do. All right. Thank you again. So next.
I have a question for Gary.
Oh, I'm sorry. Gary, are you still there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can. I'm here. Hello?
Okay, so I saw that you put this on Facebook in the Hudson. Hello?
Hi.
Okay, so I said I saw that you put up a post in the Hudson Community Board group on this subject. And my question to you is, do you think that going forward, that that's the way you're going to always address some of the things that's happening with this new version of shared streets? Or do you plan to also like use the online platform or the social media platform that we have as a way to make sure you're not alienating specific businesses or any businesses that are not in that group, because that's a specific group. It's a private group. I'm just talking about transparency here.
Yes. And that's my attention. I'm going to include them. And you know, I threw out a couple of posts because I kind of felt I wanted to get information out there quickly. I think moving forward, we're going to let our progress speak for the program. And I think the way to go forward is to post on our website an official announcement in terms of where we're standing and so forth. Not that we need an update, but yes, if and I just as well, you know, decrease the postings on the community board as we go forward. But again, I also do want to keep everyone informed. So yes, as I do, I'll continue. I'll also include the Hudson Business Coalition and anyone else that anyone thinks is that I should be included.
Hi, Calvin. It's Dominic. Can I ask Gary a question before you ask leave?
Sure.
Hi, Gary. Welcome aboard. I just got a question regarding restrooms. I know last year they did porta potties. What's the plan for restrooms for this year?
Nothing. I don't know.
Dominic, I can answer that as of like, well, I guess the last time I was at an organizing meeting, which was a couple of months ago, but there was at that point no appetite on the city level for doing restrooms again. It was brought up by the Warren Street seasonal usage, you know, folks on the tourism board, but the city didn't want to do it.
Gotcha. So Gary, is there a way that you could kind of scan it out to see what restrooms will be available, especially ADA compliant, in the city during this time, and then maybe put some kind of notification posted that, you know, this business is ADA compliant, you know, so people are aware where to go for restrooms, especially ADA compliant, especially in the city, you know, on city, so it's somewhere posted for convenience if we're not going to provide external ones. I think it's very important that we find restrooms that are going to be utilized along the path and make that known.
Good point, Dominic. I'll look into it. I'm not sure if there are any private businesses that would be open to having just people in off the street. They're certainly going to have to make it available to them if they're dining there. But I'll look into it.
Thank you.
Gary, I know you're about to leave, but I still have other questions, and I also realized
I'll stay for any question. I don't mind.
You and Kay might have already dealt with this, but just because there are also our social media geniuses on this in this meeting. Caroline Parkinson from Hudson Hall had written asking if the Warren Street seasonal usage folks wanted to take over the Hudson Shared Street social media account because it's getting new followers every day. And I think Kate had said that we would talk about it at this meeting. That seemed like something that it would be good to get, social media gurus to weigh in on, because I know it's not shared streets, but I also know there are people following it, so that could be like a good access. I don't know. I just wanted to bring it up.
Yeah. We could just change the name.
Yeah, Tamara, I did not respond to that email. To be very honest with you, that's there's a few things ahead of that on my to-do list. But personally, I would love the tourism board to take that over, and if I could contribute to that. I think I can read more of a tourism aspect of the program. But if you guys feel differently, I'll take shots too.
Hannah, you and Cece, are you the social media magic makers?
Well, I've been the one that's been posting to ours, and I'm happy to run that. I would just need to be provided with the content, because, you know, if someone could help me with the content, then I could can post it or design posters for it.
I could help with that.
Yeah, like there was like a certain message you wanted to get out there, type it up. Cool.
I'm sorry, who is this?
My name's Hannah Black.
Oh, hi, Hannah. Sure. Okay.
Should I just respond to that email and connect you guys with Hannah, make sure that you're connected to Caroline? Does the board feel like that's a thing that makes sense?
Yes.
Fine with me.
Cool. All right. I'm sorry, Swan, did you have any other questions for Gary?
No, that was it. Thank you.
All righty. Any other board members have any questions for Gary? Okay, I think we have a question from the public. Sarah's iPhone? Sarah's iPhone, do you have a question for Gary? You're currently muted.
She looks frozen.
Did we just lose her?
She gone.
We may have lost that person. All right. Well, again, Gary, thank you. Thank you for your time.
Very welcome. Thank you.
Alrighty. Oh, Sarah, Gary.
Okay, I'm here.
I think Sarah's back.
Hi, sorry, something must have been. Gary, I had a suggestion for bathrooms, seeing if the tourism board, you know, with the power of the city, could seek like a corporate sponsor for a bathroom or two to be put in some of the pocket parks.
An idea. I think though that, well, I'd have to go back to Tom in terms of what was the lack of interest on those porta potties to begin with. But if we were to go that route, that sounds like the way to go. Or if we could open up, you know, non-private facilities. I don't know, the library or, you know, one of our buildings.
City Hall.
I don't know. But, you know, I mean, if we could do something along those lines, I think it would be...
I've also thought about, you know, not on Warren, but the City Hall, even though it's not a compliant.
I'll follow it up on it, see what we can.
Am I frozen? I can't tell.
Okay, moving along.
I just wanted to know, is there a
thank
burden
you.
On, I have a question.
It's
is
definitely
there a
needed.
Or a requirement for every city to provide public restrooms on business strips? I know we have one down at the Henry Hudson Park that I believe is ADA compliant, but I'm just questioning, is that something that every city should be taking on, this city should be taking on?
No.
Not that it wouldn't be grateful, but I'm just
right.
Questioning.
Cece, you're right. There is no requirement. And the fact is, last year we had them because it was COVID, you know, where it was impossible for a lot of businesses to let people use their restrooms. That's not to say we couldn't try to find some porta potties for this summer, but you know, these are different circumstances. So I don't really, you know, get the. It's summers in the past. There's been no porta potties. I mean, what's different here?
Yeah. But, Gary, it sounds like you have a few options to look into, and we'll see what you come back with.
Cool. Thank you.
Okay, so moving along to our next item of business, we have a update from Chris in regards to the Pocket Park Forum.
Great. Okay, so... I forwarded to everybody on the board today kind of a graphic that I put together. Cece reminded me last week that we have to be really transparent in how we invite people to participate in the Pocket Park market, for lack of a better term. So we're still looking at 3 to 5 vendors and a cultural act or two. That could be a music act, it could be a poetry reading, book reading, a lecture. And I've, like I said, I've put together a poster that we can share in social media that can kind of get the word out and we can start to solicit. I have from Waterfront Wednesdays their list of vendors, and I've talked to a few, and there is a lot of interest in having this market. We're looking at, again, tying into second Saturdays, doing from 2 to 5. So that would be the bridge from the farmer's market, which ends at 1, and then brings us right into the evening where people will be going gallery hopping and shopping and enjoying second Saturday. So the real update would be that I was initially trying to get something for June. I'm almost thinking that it's a little ambitious. Had a conversation with Michael Chimides today about licensing and everything. So I'm aiming to have the first one in July. And I just wanted to ask everybody on the tourism board's help to help me get the information out and solicit vendors and cultural acts. And that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
Okay. Hey, Chris. Any questions or comments from board members?
Yeah, I had a question. I looked at your flyer. Really nice job, Chris. Thank you for that. I was talking to some folks that were down at Bliss Towers and just kind of giving them an abreast of what, you know, Tourism Board has been doing, because not everyone has the ability to be on Zoom. And they asked about notifications. So I'll definitely print one of these off and put it up at Bliss and maybe get one down to the listserv that Hudson Terrace gives out to their tenants. You have on your flyer that the timing is from 2 to 5. That means that's the time frame that a vendor is allowed to stay in the park, is just from 2 to 5?
That was the initial thinking. Do you think it should be longer?
Absolutely. I think that when you think about merchants and merchandising and vending, that, you know, that's, I mean, that's like almost rush hour too. Like, you know, between the time that you're trying to get home or get to the bank before they close or the post office. And so I think, a little bit longer, maybe till 7 or something would be, you know, for those who aren't going to do the crawl, who might want to just hang out on the street, especially if it's poetry or music or, you know, whatever. It sounds really lovely though.
Or even between the crawl. So that's good feedback. From gallery to gallery and then a little music and a little shopping.
Exactly. Thank you, Chris. That's all I have.
Great. I like that.
UCC, any other comments from board members? All right. Next, I wanted to just make room for any old business. And I know, Hannah, not to put you on the spot, but I did want to offer an opportunity to give an update in regards to the high beam stage. Are you prepared to speak to that a bit?
Well, I just got the email that I forwarded to everyone. So, sorry. So I haven't quite digested and translated. Essentially, Ollie, who's been managing the stage, is going to grad school in July. And they have been working and talking with a bunch of sort of local arts organizations to take it over. And then also in coordination with Spark of Hudson, who wants to take over the management of it. So that was pretty much the synopsis, was that the stage, they really want in like the idea of the stage to kind of live on and not just kind of go into the, you know, storage, city storage, but to continue to have life after they leave. So that's pretty much it.
Okay, great. Thank you. And I'll open up to board members. Any comments or final thoughts before we transition to public comment?
I just want to say publicly that it has been an honor to work with Tamar Adler on what has been one of the most remarkable experiences of my life. I'm sad to see her go, but I do understand that with service comes great responsibility, and she has been responsible and appreciated. And I just wanted to say that because I know it's not easy, and you know, you did good work, you do good work. So I just want to say that I appreciate you. And thank you, babe.
Thank you. I appreciate you all so enormously. The Tourism Board knows this, but we're public now. I thank you. I'm going to get really upset, so don't do that.
Even though you weren't a council appointment, but a mayoral appointment, thank you for your service, Tamar. You did a great job.
Thank you.
Mayor beat you to it.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you. Thank you. But just, you know, because it's public, I want to state publicly that I couldn't be more proud of all the work that this board has done. I appreciate every single one of you that I have worked with enormously. I didn't have to turn a book in 3 months and wasn't really committed to finding funds for an aerator for Oakdale Lake and other things like that. I would love to go on working with you. But thank you. Thank you all. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Tamar. All right. So next we will transition to public comment.
Hi, yeah. So I just wanted to say something really quickly. My name is Ash, fourth ward. And this weekend I was at the second show, which is a local thrift store. It's right next to Bottolini's, which is a pretty popular restaurant, as I'm sure many of you know. And I spoke to the manager of second show, Carol. This was her idea. I don't want to take credit for it, but she had recommended instead of painting over the concrete blocks, to like drape them with a weatherproof like cloth or covering to maybe make it easier, because she figured having so many blocks to paint would definitely take up a lot of time. And then she mentioned that having like a different design for each of the blocks would like make everything look very disorganized and not uniform. So I just wanted to like echo her thoughts, and I'm not gonna lie, I kind of agree with them. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Ash. We'll be sure to forward the comments to our project manager as well. All right, Dominic, is that you, iPhone? No public comment from iPhone. Okay. Any other public comment?
I'm here. You got me?
Yes. Yep. Floor is yours.
Thank you. Again, I want to thank Tamar for her excellent work on many things that she's done. And but I got a question for Hannah regarding the stage. What exactly does it entail for management of the stage? I'm assuming there's no rental to use the stage. So what exactly does an organization need to coordinate or manage the stage?
So I'm sure that's still being worked out, and I'm just getting this information via an email that Ali passed along to us a few hours ago. But the point of the stage is that it's equitable and accessible and would not involve a rental fee. But I would imagine you would have to go through Spark to kind of submit a usage request.
Well, also, since it's city property, I think if a for-profit wanted to use it, they would pay a fee. And more importantly, just like you prepared last time, there would probably be some kind of agreement to return it in exact condition it goes out. So as Hannah said, those are all conditions to be worked on.
I agree. Some type of an inspection before and then after, just to make sure that it's, you know, completely transparent. Because there's wheels, there's lights, there's things that if they need to be replaced or damaged, we should account for. I agree with that.
Yeah, like a rental agreement.
And yes, I was wearing my U-Haul hat. Yes, that's right. A rental
agreement. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think when you're talking about management, you're talking about like booking, that there'd be an organization that could help organize, you know, somebody
can
use it one weekend and is it free?
Right. Yeah. I would imagine it'd be the booking and storage.
Jesus.
Yeah. That sort of thing. And Ollie's been the one that's been handling that thus far. And so when they leave, they wanted to make sure that it didn't just die into obscurity, but continue to live on.
Yep.
So that's the plan.
You know, I'm hoping that these Athens people might do it, might take it over. They take over the Marika, maybe. If that's, you know, who knows? I just, you know, it's too bad. They're being stubborn.
Were there any other questions, Dominic?
I got to go ahead. I'm in the middle of a meeting here.
Oh, no, thank you. Well, I was just
I know curious, you did, Peter.
Just for, if anybody asked regarding the management of the stage,
unbelievable.
What the process would be. So it sounds like you're still working through it.
So we can definitely make a public announcement once all the details are kind of ironed up.
Right. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Dominic. Any other comments from the public? All right, I'm not seeing any hands up. Okay, may I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
A second.
Yeah, second.
All those in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
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 Any nays? All right.